As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high-flying, ran-fast, vertical stems of professors from Penn watching eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose, it's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some.
This is what it's all about. We do daily podcasts for like 2.5 weeks during training camp.
We got all kinds of time for guests and nonsense.
I will open up a 2-hour block.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to day two of Daily Pods for Miners Week leading into the NFC Championship game on Sunday at 3 p.m. at Lincoln Financial Field. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, Marissa Dunn here. Zach, everybody wants to know. I've been getting the heat up from movers and shakers across the league, unnamed sources, high-ranking people on the street. People are stopping me. They're saying, hey, how did Zach's basketball game go last night?
To quote Andy Reid, I need to do a better job. I did not play well enough. I did not help my team win. And I need to do a better job next week, bottom line.
How'd you do? What were your numbers from the field, would you guess?
I took one shot.
You only took one shot?
Yeah, I was distributing last night. Yeah, I was trying
to get... that's a positive thing.
What's the format of these games? 4-on-4, I think you've told me, right?
Yeah, 4-on-4.
Short-ish court.
Yeah, it's what do playoff you play week. To? Oh, it's timed.
It's timed.
It's 2 20-minute halves.
Yeah. And you only took one shot the whole game?
Well, our game plan going into the game was to feed our two best scorers, right?
And isn't this supposed to be like everybody just gets out and gets some exercise, like recreational activity? And you're going like full on ball hog offense. You're not even spreading it around. You get one shot.
It was my doing. I could have shot more, but I was really trying to get the ball into our scorers' hands. We were playing. Yeah. It was.
What about the assist to turnover ratio then?
It was decent actually, okay. Relative to right. What I didn't turn the ball over as much as I did the previous week, but I was a little too conservative on offense, right? So I should have penetrated and kicked a little more, but I'm not good enough. I need to do a better job. Bottom line, Eagles, Niners, let's get to it.
Did you guys win though? The chat wants to know.
No, we lost. We lost. We were undermanned as well. But that's not an excuse. We need to, we need more scoring. We need more rebounding. And unfortunately, I don't help in either area. So, we'll be fine. We'll be all right. We have some good players. We'll be okay.
I believe in you guys. I believe you've got the leadership to turn it around.
Yes.
Thank you.
Marissa, how are you? How is Michael's man cold? And how nervous is he starting to get for his big appearance tomorrow night on the show?
Yes. So for the chat that's asked, Michael will be coming on tomorrow night. He is very excited slash nervous. He's been doing a lot of research, watching a lot of film, taking a lot of notes. So hopefully he'll be very prepared, but I think he's excited. I think he's nervous. And the cold, hopefully he's on an antibiotic now. So hopefully, hopefully he'll be a lot better tomorrow. But yeah, can't wait.
You know, he makes his first ever NFL start in the playoffs in Pittsburgh against a big division rival. And this is probably what he's more nervous for.
Yeah, honestly, it might equate, you know, because a lot of pressure. I told him there's going to be a lot of people watching. Well, it's the
biggest show around, yeah.
Exactly.
This is NFC Championship.
Yeah, he's excited. So.
Okay, we've checked in on both of you. It's time to check in on me. And I think with that in mind, let's roll that tape, baby. Nice. What do you think they're going to order tomorrow?
Mm. The coach? They have to keep it the same. It has to be Pizza Hut again.
I'm gonna make a prediction.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna ask Sirianni about this week, and he's gonna say they ordered Little Caesars pizza
because that's the official partnership of
that's the official partner. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's gonna say they did not go back to. And he's like, I had a hankering for Little Caesars. I think someone's gonna get in the market.
Yeah. Exactly.
You cuss at Pizza Hut.
Yes.
That's Little Caesars.
Yeah. They
you
pay
really
a lot of money.
Think? You really think the Lurys care if he's saying Pizza Hut and they're winning?
I don't think the Lurys.
They'll
care,
eat the sponsorship. There's
hardworking people on.
True, very true.
You know, the business wing of the building who are probably hearing from a Little Caesars rep this week saying, we pay all this money to be the official pizza provider. Yeah. So I get that, right? You put the birdie in the ear. So, Or
Marissa,
maybe
if he drops Little Caesars, you get a point for a super sarcastic.
Oh, okay. I'll be sending Little Caesars to the facility myself tomorrow. How many coaches are there?
Not a point for the win, for the win, just a point for the weekly tally. So you'll still be short, but you'll get a point.
I mean, if it's not helping me win.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. If he drops Little Caesars, you get a point.
Okay.
What was I thinking? And then yesterday,
volunteered that.
What was I thinking? I should have given myself the point. This is ridiculous. 4 a.m. What kind of decision making was that? Bad job, but an unbelievable prediction because yesterday, Zach, as you know, Nick Sirianni was asked by Jimmy Kemsky what he ordered last night or what he ordered on Sunday. And he said Little Caesars, Little Caesars. And he said it very matter of factly to the point where one would even question whether the truthfulness of that.
Oh, yeah. He was definitely looking at Bob Lang during that.
But he had been appropriately coached yes. for that answer. And I mean, I get the undying respect of all of our listeners for knowing what was going to happen. But for some reason, Marissa gets an extra super point. And now the math is all fakakta.
I mean, I didn't even like fight it. I was like, you know, 4 a.m. It was the end of the show. Like, you know what? You get the point. You get a full point. I was like,
another piece of swooper charity.
Hey, unbelievable. I'll take it. You're giving it out.
Yeah.
You're the rule maker and you're also giving out points.
Yeah, I was thinking.
What might as well take it, right?
All right.
And you know what? I don't blame Nick in that I'm all for authenticity, but I need to imagine, right? As I said the other night, there are hardworking people in that building who that phone call must be brutal when you know, you've worked really hard to get this account and then your head coach mentions a different pizza company, right?
But I think they dropped the ball themselves. They could have responded with some sort of viral marketing, you know, like sent a bunch of Little Caesars into the Novacare complex or something.
You could be creative. Exactly.
Yeah. And I also think Pizza Hut could have done the same. Why doesn't Pizza Hut have a billboard up on you know, up on the 95 right now saying the official pizza of coaches everywhere or something like that?
Yeah, but that would be like if you know, pick a sponsor of ours and then we mention their competitors, you know, it wouldn't go over well with our sponsor.
Yeah. I mean, how many competing manscaping products are there really?
You tell me.
All right. Well, it is day two of prep for the big game on Sunday. And so today we heard from three Philadelphia Eagles coordinators. As for what they said, well, it's time to send it over to the stone cold newsman himself, Zach Berman.
The coaches were back to work this afternoon, and they're putting the game plan together for Sunday's NFC Championship game. Tickets went on sale this morning, from what I understand. Even if you were interested, it was very unlikely to grab those tickets. As far as news, not much hard news right now. Nick Sirianni said the team is hopeful that Avante Maddox returns on Sunday, but Maddox has some hurdles he must clear first. He needs to practice. They need to see how his body responds to football activities. So that will be certainly a storyline on Thursday and Friday this week, because they have a walkthrough on Wednesday. And then it certainly sounds like Brett Kern will remain the punter for the Eagles. Aaron Sipos, who Bo said, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, is eager to return. It does not look like Kern's going to give up his spot at this point. From the coordinators today, it's about what you would expect. Jonathan Gannon mentioned that NFC Championship game in January 2018. He was on the Vikings coach. He said he was on the Vikings sideline. He was there.
Yeah, this was interesting.
He was their secondary coach at the time, or assistant secondary coach at the time, maybe.
I think that's right.
And he said that was the loudest atmosphere he's ever been a part of, or the best atmosphere he's ever been a part of. He mentioned the conversation with Harrison Smith before the game, where
he basically said Harrison Smith was pissing his pants before the game.
He didn't. He was like, Harrison Smith was like, whoa. And yeah, that's a famous crowd.
He's about to become adopted. No wonder.
That's a famous crowd in Eagles history. And Gannon referenced that game. Not much from Clay or Steichen in terms of news, things we can interject over the course of the podcast. We certainly have enough of them this week to discuss them. But that's about it from the news end. The team is back tomorrow for a walkthrough. We'll hear from Nick Sirianni. We'll hear from Jalen Hurts. We'll hear from many others, and we'll have all those updates on Birds with Friends. Back to you in the studio, Bo.
Dynamite stuff, Zach. Thanks so much. We'll keep you in mind as we continue the show. We've got Dan McQuaid from Defector coming on after the break in a little bit. But before then, we're going to dip into the quail bag, a little bird in edgewise, as we move our way down along the line this week. Also, Zach, before we get to that, story from you now on The Athletic on Jalen Hurts, the processor, the mind, the triple threat. Yeah.
So the origin of this here is that if you recall, after a game this season, Jalen Hurts said that he's not a dual threat quarterback. He's a triple threat quarterback. It's not just killing teams with his arm and his leg, but also with his mind. And he was on that ESPN interview that he did with Donovan McNabb and Michael Vick, and they were talking about this concept, and he said Brian Johnson brought it up to him. And so I spoke to Brian Johnson about it, and Brian Johnson gave the origin, and Brian Johnson explained exactly how, and there are specific plays in there that reference some of them. There was one spectacular play, but then there was one that seems like a routine play, but the coaching staff, Sirianni brought it up, Brian Johnson brought it up as examples of how Jalen Hurts is winning with his mind. So make sure that you check that out on The Athletic. And while you're on The Athletic, also check out Bo's thoughts on the game and the early thoughts on the matchup. We discussed it on the pod, but Bo has some really good numbers and charts and breakdowns in there. And you also hear Sirianni talking about A.J. Brown. I know that's been a topic of conversation among Eagles fans, or a source of intrigue among Eagles fans. So you can find that all out in Bo's piece today.
Yeah, what did you make of that, Zach? That Sirianni acknowledged yesterday that A.J. Brown was upset, not just because he had been a little dinged, but also because he wanted the ball in a 38-7 blowout.
No problem with that.
Okay.
He's a competitor. I think it's more of a problem if he doesn't want the ball, right? So, yeah.
Yes, but at that stage of the game, a game that was like so lopsided, I don't know.
I think it's context specific, right? It came after a play when he was throwing a ball in the end zone, mm-hmm. right? It was a near touchdown. They didn't connect. I honestly don't have an issue with this. I know that this has been a subject of conversation, but I truly believe that Like, you want a wide receiver who wants the ball in his hands. Otherwise, that's part of what makes AJ Brown great is that personality.
And I don't think that he nor Devontae Smith are going to have a lack of targets this week. So I think that's fair. All right, Zach, let's dip into the mailbag here a little bit.
My favorite thing to do, by the way. I love mailbag pods. It engages the audience. I like knowing what's on their mind.
It's your favorite thing to do?
On this podcast, yeah. I really enjoy the mailbag pods. When I was growing up, I used to love when Bill Simmons' mailbags came out. And I would those were always exciting days at school. I would print them off and I would read them in class. And this is kind of an homage to that.
You'd print them out, go home, call up a girl and just read her the answers.
No, I would read them during class. I shouldn't admit that because I should be, listening.
I don't think
to
you're
going
to get. I think it's too late for you to get in trouble for that now.
So. Statute of limitations expired. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. All right. First question from Anik. What is your favorite one-on-one matchup in the trenches that you are looking forward to in this game? Because this podcast is all about the trenches.
Well, Lane Johnson versus Nick Bosa has to be the answer there.
Okay.
And I'm assuming you see, I mean, Nick Bosa does switch sides, but mostly plays on that side, on Lane's side. And I think that'll be a great matchup.
Yeah, it's like 65-35 or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I am curious to see how they deploy Nick Bosa. Do they view the hampered Lane Johnson as the opportunity to spring Nick Bosa, or is it Jordan Mailata on the left side? I'm sure that they will do a little bit of both. If I'm going to look for another answer, I would say, like, I think Reddick versus McGlinchey is a big opportunity for the Eagles. I think that's where they can maybe wreck the game. But I also think that Javon Hargrave, if they can get into passing downs, has a real opportunity to blow up the middle of that Niners offensive line, which can be had, I think.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Next question from Kenneth. How did Zach hear Michael Dunn's speech at the wedding when he was preparing to beeline it to the buffet?
I'm a sucker for wedding speeches. So always listen to the vows and the speeches. Yeah. There's parts of weddings that I'm not as interested in. And then I'm always like engaged in the speeches.
So number one, dessert table, number two, speeches. What's number three?
Number three?
And what are you not interested in?
I'm not as like enthralled by watching the couple dance. You know, that seems to be a thing where everyone stands up and wants to watch the couple dance.
It's the first dance. It's like the whole. It's a whole big thing. It's one dance. It's not the whole. It's not the whole night.
I'm simply answering your question that I much prefer a best man speech or bridesmaid speech or father or mother of the bride or groom speech than watching the first dance. The first dance doesn't do it for me. That's all I'm saying. Some people stand up and they want to watch the first dance. I'm fine not watching the first dance.
I think it's
hated
more
the first dance too. Like,
I feel like Michael and I are kindred spirits here. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he was very nervous about the first dance. So.
What was your least favorite part? What's your generally least favorite part of a wedding, Marissa?
I don't know. I love weddings. I don't know. I have to think about that one. I have my cousin's wedding coming up, so maybe I'll attend that and then report back. So I don't know. What is yours?
Probably not remembering to bring like bills to tip.
Mm. Yeah, like the bartenders.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never have.
And then so then it's like you got to order enough so that I can just I can tip a nice 20.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad thing, though.
No, yeah, it's not a bad. I'm trying to come up with an answer. I like what it's
too. That's such a humble brag there. Seriously,
baller.
Yeah.
It's a long night.
I'm such a good tipper. I'm such a good tipper that my least favorite part of the wedding is when I forget the bills to tip. It's like,
yeah, my least favorite part is all the people coming up to me and telling me they love the show. Just like, you know, let me live my life for once. All right, next up from Shane. Zach, thinking of the 49ers matchup, do you think there are some shades of Birds Vikings from 2017? The Vikings defense was historically good, and they had a journeyman quarterback in Case Keenum. Skill players don't match up to those Vikings skill players don't match up to these Niners, but I'd love to hear your comparison on that team versus this team.
Interesting question there. I don't think it's going to be as much of a mismatch as that game was. But what I will say is that the best chance of this game getting out of hand is the Eagles building up a lead, because I don't know if the 49ers are equipped to come from behind in this game, right? So if the Eagles go up two scores early, I don't think this is a fourth quarter game, right? Mm. I think the way the Niners win this game is if it looks like the Eagles-Cowboys game, right? If it's close in the third quarter and then they pull away and the Eagles have a few three and outs in there. If the Eagles score points early in the game, then I think the Eagles run away with it. Not 38-7, but a healthy advantage.
I have to tell you that just as we track our feelings over the course of the week, today I am feeling like the Eagles win handily. That's just the way that I feel today. I think it's because the things that we believe in, like they've got a better quarterback significantly. I think their weapons are a little bit better. I think their offensive line is a little bit better. And I think that great offense beats great defense. But I think that will probably change over the course of the week. But right now I'm feeling like the Eagles are gonna win comfortably.
Yeah, I kind of do. Well, I don't think comfortably, but I
do. Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's going to be an adjective-filled game, but
yeah, like, I think the Eagles are going to win too. And it's funny because I'm reading some of the stuff out of San Francisco, and I see them talk about things that, like, where the Niners have this decided mismatch, and I'm like, am I a homer here, or am I reading this incorrectly? Like, am I interpreting this incorrectly? So I mean, the way it's kind of being portrayed somewhere is like the Niners are this juggernaut taking on the Eagles. And I understand 12 straight wins, but I don't know. I mean, I think the Eagles are the better team.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, obviously 12 straight wins is very impressive.
Yeah.
But I think the Eagles, I mean, they have been the best team in the conference over the course of the season. And they're like, they haven't lost anybody. And they sort of showed that they were able to get back to their, you know, their best selves last week. I don't know. It's going to be, I'm still very excited. I don't know.
Yeah.
What question from Marissa? Peck, Nest, Migrate, Marissa, these baby names.
I saw this one. I was hoping this wasn't asked.
Bo, Zach, and Deniz.
I can't do that. It's a girl. When I have a boy, we'll do
that. Okay, fair enough.
I would nest them all.
Zach, what is your favorite off-topic topic to discuss on Birds with Friends?
Hmm. College football.
Good one.
Yeah, that's a good answer for you.
What's yours?
Your personal life?
That I can assure you is my least.
Zach, do you know what games Josh Sweat plays on his computers? That question was asked.
I do. Here, let me pull up my notes here. So go on to the next question and I will come back to that. I'm pulling it up.
Some questions that we had some good suggestions on Niners, Eagles overlaps, guys from yesterday. I didn't mention Brian Westbrook on purpose because he was all in the chat, but I do need to take the mea culpa
as pointed out by Matt Gelb and handsome Rich Bobby, that I never asked who you guys think Frank Gore is going to be rooting for in this game.
I imagine the Niners.
Yeah, I'd say the Niners.
Fransky in LA, over under 1.5 cowardly decisions by Kyle Shanahan on Sunday. You'll know it when you see it. Melvin style, I'm going to take the over. I think probably at the end of the first half, and then in the fourth quarter, he's going to be turtling like he likes to.
Okay, here you go. So he plays some of the games include Modern Warfare, Warzone, all types of battling, Apex Legends, 2K. If this rings a bell with our listeners.
Okay. From Nico, Zach, if Miles Sanders moves on, can Kenny Gainwell make the step up, or do you think they'll draft a mid-round running back?
I think they draft a running back this year if Miles Sanders moves on. I actually think they draft one regardless, but in particular, if Miles Sanders moves on, and this gives me a chance to give a shout-out to Dane Brugler, who has his positional guides out today. Not the full write-ups, but his rankings right now. And he in his tweet teasing it, which I shared, he mentioned the strengths of this year's class. And he identified cornerback, he identified edge rusher, and he identified running back. And those are all three positions that the Eagles could address with their first, you know, in the first three rounds of the draft, let's say. This is a really good running back draft class. I've talked about that a number of times. There's a handful of guys who I think could be starting caliber players. And there's even players in the middle round. Like, I think Bo's going to really fall for the Pitt running back. I have a hard time pronouncing his name, his first name's Israel. I can pronounce that, but, he's a big play guy, number one. And he's one of the youngest runners in the draft. It's Abanaconda. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Israel Abanaconda. He was really good this year. And he's doing a smart thing for a running back, is that, you know, true junior, I think he's still 20 years old, had a big year, doesn't have a lot of, you know, this was only his first year in that role. And he enters the draft, which he should do at that position, right? Because the shelf life is shorter, you know, come out as early as you can.
I've also seen the point, which I think is fair, that like the star running backs at big schools, because the NFL contracts are so weighted against running backs, it makes sense for them to maybe return for a senior season to get the NIL money before, assuming you're going to be like a one contract player anyway.
And they saw a lot. But there's been a lot of that this year. Dane said there's been a lot of surprises of guys actually staying. Guys that he had in his top 100. I forget the number of how many he said, but there was a significant amount of players he had in his top 100 that decided to not declare this year.
Yeah, I was talking to a player on the Eagles. I'm not going to mention the name because it wasn't on the record. But he was like, he would just transfer every year in college. He would just be, it's like being a free agent every year, you know. He would just take that money. So
Dane had the Eagles taking Bijan Robinson in his latest mock.
With the second pick.
Yeah, right. At 31 with the second pick.
Yeah. 31's not horrible for it.
Yeah, I don't think that's right? Crazy.
Yeah. But certainly not 10.
Yeah. All right. There's a few more questions we can get to a little bit later, but for now, let's take our break. Coming back on the other side with Dan McQuaid from Defector. All right. Welcome back to Birds with Friends. Bo, Zach, and Marissa, joined now by a special first-time guest, long-time coming, Dan McQuaid from Defector. Covers all kinds of things at Defector, from bootleg T-shirts to the Eagles fan experience and wrestling nonsense. Lots of good stuff, Dan. How are you? Thanks for joining
us. Lots of stuff. I'm good. Thanks for having me on. I'm thrilled to finally be on one of the few podcasts I listen to and watch. It's live. I'm a little nervous, maybe. I don't know.
Well,
that's why I'm wearing my lucky shirt.
Now is that a
and what is the shirt? Can we see that? Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a Ty Detmer shirt. That I purchased from a place called Rare Vintage. It's like VNTG. That's a local Philadelphia store. There was like a pop-up market at Downingtown Vintage like the day before the season started. And it was either this or like a Bobby Hoying caricature shirt. I like to buy like a new Lucky Eagles shirt every year because I'm one of those people. I bought this. I took a photo of it and texted my parents, and my mom said, "Ugh, I hate it, Bobby Hoying." So I got the Ty Detmers shirt.
And so you have sort of created this into the universe, because the only time the Eagles and Niners have played each other was Detmer, right?
Yeah, it was a famous game where the Eagles got no points. They were shut out. Detmer threw two end zone interceptions. And then he got hurt and Mark Rippon came in. And I've been researching it this week. I'm going to do like a little story about it. And I had no memory of Mark Rippon playing for the Eagles. He was their backup in 1996. I have no memory of him coming into that playoff game. Maybe I like turned it off already. I can remember like very vividly Ty Detmer throwing those interceptions. But I do not remember really anything else from the game. Maybe my brain is protected.
And how lucky is the shirt? What kind of record are we working with?
Oh, I mean, I wore it for every game except for I didn't wear it for the I didn't wear it for the Texans game.
Okay.
I figure it.
Philly's night.
Philly's night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't wearing it during the Colts game because it had been like in the wash or something. And then I put it on in the fourth quarter.
There you go.
In order to, you know, give the team a boost. And it worked, you know, they didn't lose that game. So I wore it every week. I didn't wash it for the first half of the year. And then like clearly its power was starting to wane. So then I started washing it and it seemed to regain some of its juice. Obviously I wore it last week and
very nice.
It worked out really well.
What was your Super Bowl shirt?
Oh, good question.
My Super Bowl shirt. So I actually went, I had a ticket to the Super Bowl. I went to the Super Bowl. And I wore a shirt from Quick Stop, which is a deli in Kensington. There's actually a couple, but there's one, my wife teaches at Kensington High School. And there is a Quick Stop right across from her school. It's like in an old 7-Eleven. It's like if you want to see what a 7-Eleven looked like in like 1997, you can go to this independent convenience store. Anyway, they sell, I hope no one from the Eagles is watching, they sell like, you know, branded bootleg
nice
stuff.
I don't think anyone from the Eagles
I wore
is watching.
That yeah. Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, I don't think they're gonna go after this
this is gonna create a Little Caesars like controversy store. There's gonna be someone's going to get yelled at for this.
Yeah. Who's the official convenience store? I guess it's
the Pro Shop. Yeah.
It's not Royal Farms. There's one downtown I like, Convenient Food Mart. It's not a convenience store. It's a convenience store. So I forget what the question was as I rambled off into.
It was asking what shirt you wore for the Super Bowl.
Oh, this is how some of my articles work too. Yeah, and then I wore sweatpants because I'm from Northeast Philly. I wore like a shirt that my mom had gotten me. I wore a coat that my friend Molly Eichel from The Enquirer had purchased for me. It's like an old chalkline Eagles jacket. I know she did not spend that much money on me, so it must have been like before the vintage boom.
Zach's former colleague.
And
correct.
And yeah, so you know things are you know I like, you can tell I think about this stuff because like I have in my brain like the memory of everything I wore to the Super Bowl. So
my lucky clothing story is that when I was like 3 months old, my mom was a big Red Sox fan. This was the 86 World Series between the Red Sox and the Mets. And they left to go like to a party to watch the game, left me with the babysitter, put me in a Red Sox thing. And my dad came home in like the ninth inning and, you know, the Red Sox are winning obviously. And he took me out of bed because it was like, see the Red Sox win the World Series. And he found that I was in a Mets outfit. The babysitter had changed me. And just when he realized that, the ball goes through Buckner's legs. And so that's the, the famous story.
What? So you were to blame?
Whoa.
That?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Ooh, oh man. This, you need to name this babysitter.
That's a good question.
You know,
yeah.
I don't.
I mean, I respect the move. She was a Mets fan.
I am kind of impressed by it.
It's a good move. Dan, what are your general thoughts on like the arc of this Eagles season? Because they have been so dominant. I think it's, I mean, from my vantage point, it's like it's different than 2017 because like it has sort of come out of nowhere, but there haven't been like that many close games. I don't know if we like understand the like the personalities quite as well. What's your like opinion on how this season has gone for you as a fan as opposed to 2017?
Sure. I mean, so I think that it's gone, you know, I feel like 2017 kind of came out of nowhere more than this year.
Right.
I know that people were excited about Wentz and, you know, and they had started 3-0 the previous year and, you know, they had added, you know, like Jeffrey and Torrey Smith and, you know, guys like that.
Eagles legend, Torrey Smith. Know. He'll never.
He caught that. He caught that tip pass off the Falcons guy's knee. It was a huge play. So I think, you know, I kind of thought they might be really good this year. You know, I think the only people who really had that was like Football Outsiders and, you know, had them like preseason ranked one of the top teams. You know, like Peter King, you know, said that the Saints were going to win the NFC. You know, I do think this sort of came out of nowhere. You know, I think it's been a really, really good, obviously they went 14-3. It's been a really good season. You know, people are, I'm amazed at how negative people have been about the defense this year. You know, I think the defense has been very
good. Speaking Zach's language.
You know, people like, you know, like they, like you would think they gave up like a dozen third and 30s as opposed to one, you know, like obviously that.
Do your friends in the Northeast think so as well? Or?
Definitely my friends in the Northeast, my friends and my like I have some, I went to two games this season. I people, you know, and it's football, so like I overreact to, you know, like one play I'm like, oh, the Eagles are gonna lose by 20, and then the next play I'm like, oh, the Eagles are gonna go to the Super Bowl. But like I do, like I have some, I went to the game where they their first loss when they lost
Washington.
To Washington, and as I, you know, they the last play, you know, like I exited the stadium as soon as I saw that flag for unnecessary roughness late hit, like I knew, and like the guy in front of me leaving the, you know, going down the ramp or whatever was like, never freaking watching football again. And I'm like, they're having an incredible season and they lost a close game,
a shame,
to a division opponent.
They missed some good games.
But I was pretty, you know, I was pretty angry at that time too. You know, I went to, like, you know, I thought there were a lot of games this year that I thought were going to be close and were not. You know, I thought like, I also went to week two against the Vikings and I pretty much thought they were going to lose and they, you know, won really easily. You know, the only game I went to in 2017 besides the Super Bowl was I actually went out to LA for the game at the Coliseum. They played there. I went there both years. They played twice in a row. I wanted to see, you know, I have friends in LA. My
flex.
I got to take
big
my
flex,
wife.
Yeah.
yeah. You know, I got lots of friends in LA, you know, lots of, I got to take my wife to an Eagles game. The only Eagles game she's ever been to is a game in Los Angeles. And she was very impressed at all the Eagles fans.
17 or 18.
I got
the,
like
the Wentz injury or the Foles?
18, okay. 18. The Wentz injury.
Yes.
Yeah. I did write a thing. I did write a thing after the Wentz game, the Wentz injury game, where I just like wrote down what I heard Eagles fans like saying, leaving the Coliseum at, you know, and everyone was basically like, oh, well, season's over.
That's,
you know,
what we said on the podcast famously. Yeah.
Super Bowl. Yeah. You know, oh, I mean, I said that first game when I believe it was the Giants when they played, like his first pass was like such a duck. And I was like, oh no, like this is not going to go well. And obviously I was, you know, I was totally wrong. And I don't think that was an instance of me, you know, overreacting. You know, that first pass was really bad and, you know, Foles had been, you know, obviously he had some success with the Eagles before, but I was not expecting too much of him. And obviously it worked out. You know, you said, I don't think we know the team as
much. I don't know if I'm even, you know, if I even meant what I said there.
No, I do think, but I think, like, you know, so the year The Sixers were the one seed and lost horribly to
Atlanta,
to the Hawks. The Hawks in the NBA playoffs. You know, I saw someone, you know, saying like, oh, you know, the city's just not in it for the team. Like, I don't see any car flags like I did in 2001. Yeah. And if you remember during the 2001 Sixers playoff run, there were like so many car flags.
Yes, I remember that well.
But I did like, I did like a search, and like the first time I saw the words like car flag in the Daily News was like after game one of the NBA finals. So like, I think that like, as this stuff goes on, like we know so much about the 2017 team because we learned so much about them afterwards.
Yeah,
from,
that's a good point.
Like Zach's book,
you.
Underdog.
Good plug.
You know, like, and there's like, look at your bookshelf. There's like 40 Eagle yes, Super Bowl books there.
There are, yes.
It looks like, you know, and I've read most of them, I think. And, you know, and those, you know, you sort of learn more about the team, and things I think like sort of mean differently in retrospect. You know, I think that they can, you know, you can
That's
watch the, you know, and even like, you know, you say like the Wentz injury. Well, obviously that ended up being a, you know, a wild thing that led to, you know, Foles being Super Bowl MVP. Obviously that's different, but even like smaller things, you know, you just sort of look at it and it's like, oh, well, this is a game where the team ended up winning the Super Bowl. You know, this is great, you know, like, and I think, you know, guys get, you know, people who are, you know, guys who, you know, may once have been, you know, like if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, everyone's going to forget about how much they complained about Jonathan Gannon.
Sure.
You know,
well, I also wonder how much having been to the mountaintop changes the experience, right? Like there's a little bit less of like a pressure that they got to get it done because, you know, it was only 5 years ago that it happened. Don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and that run was obviously, you know, different in the sense that, like, you know, because Foles was the QB, you know, the backup was the QB, you know, obviously they were underdogs. There was
Hence
a the great,
book.
Great, you know, like. There was a great, great image of, you know, of Lane wearing the dog mask, like the instant that game against the Falcons ended, you know, there was like, instantly there were some sort of like, oh, here's a gimmick, you know, for everyone to rally around. And, you know, we haven't really had that yet, but maybe we'll get it Sunday. Maybe, you know, something will happen.
Well, like speaking that. About romanticizing players and past times, I'm curious. This city also likes the pregame ceremonial player, whatever it may be, the first pitch in baseball, the bell ringer for the Sixers, and you know the I guess the Flyers do the puck dropping, but I don't know if they do celebrities for that. But the Eagles,
Sarah Palin one,
okay. Really.
Yeah, that was a
the Eagles.
Yeah, Ed.
Oh no, I'm sorry. Go on.
Ed Snyder is like a co-founder of the Ayn Rand Institute. Okay. Nice. So he,
Rogers.
So
that's how.
Yeah. So last week, of course, the Eagles had Malcolm Jenkins and Torrey Smith and Brent Celek out there for as the honorary captains. Who should be the honorary captain on Sunday? Who would captivate the audience,
ooh,
or the fan base the most?
Ooh, that's good. You know, I feel like everyone would just say, oh, Brian Dawkins or something, right? But let me think about it. So it has to be someone retired, right? So it can't be like Foles. You know,
I was thinking it could be Foles. Right?
It could be Foles.
Yeah. Is he? Yeah,
he's under contract.
Is he a free agent now?
Question.
Yeah, he's under contract. So, you know, so no, I was waiting. I was just setting up a joke. It's got to be someone retired. So it can't be Ray Diddy.
That's good.
You see, Jim Gardner starting a podcast now too.
He is.
He's like, none of it. Yeah, these guys can't stay retired. You know, it's fine. You know, these guys.
I don't blame him. Working's awesome. People. So.
Oh, when I retire, I am maybe done.
When I retire, I want to be done. Like I want to retire. My last, I'm going to retire, and then my funeral's the next day. Right? Like,
really?
Well, I mean, I enjoy working, right? So
that's one of the saddest things I've ever heard.
Work hard behind you, and like I do from your like time blocking thing. You know, like you're I wish I'm like very jealous, and I don't say that a lot. I'm very jealous of your like organizational skills.
Me too.
And your yeah, like that is something that I'm on new medication for now. We'll see if it works, you know. But yeah, you know, so who should it be? You know, well, I mean, it should be Ty Detmer, right? That's what I should say.
Yeah.
But it can't be. It should be the Detmer brothers, maybe. No, so
well they did I mean those guys all wore jerseys, right? The Celek, Malcolm, and Torrey Smith. So maybe it's the three guys' jerseys that they wore, which I think were Dawkins, Westbrook, and Harold.
Well, so I was going to say it has to be Westbrook, right? Because he played for the Niners as well, right? So we need somebody who can who played for the Niners and is like, I'm supporting the Eagles, you know, like you mentioned him yesterday on the pod. Like, can we get Ricky, as he's called here, Ricky Wooders, not his actual name, but Ricky Waters. But I don't know. Does he not like the Niners? Like, we need, you know, like, but yeah, I think Westbrook, like, right. Like that's a good, like Westbrook, Dawkins, who is the other?
It was Harold Carmichael, but you would think that McNabb would be the one who fits with that group. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, and those, I mean, like, yeah, Harold Carmichael, I feel like, is around a lot, right?
Yeah.
Like what I get excited by is, like, when someone who's not around a lot.
Yeah, you want a Royal Rumble pop for somebody who's unexpected.
Yeah. So, for, you know, so, like, you know, Brian Dawkins, like, I saw him on the sidelines, you know, Saturday, right? Like, so, you know, I mean, not that he's, you know, not, like, you know, a player I really enjoyed, you know, watching. But
yeah, who could be the surprise pop? I think Foles. Foles is the surprise pop. Yeah.
Foles would be the play.
I don't like. Can they do it? Like,
sure.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Why not? What are they going to do? Yeah.
Wentz.
What about Clyde Simmons? Just throwing stuff out.
I don't think that gets them up enough. I think if Dawkins came out the way he used to at the tunnel, that would energize the crowd. Or could you go non-Eagles, right? Is there
Could it be like a Philadelphia sports?
Yeah.
Like Embiid.
Oh, I'm always amused. I went to the World Series game where the Phillies got no hit. And like Sherry O'Terry and the Fanatic did the old like cheerleader sketch from SNL. every celeb just gets pulled. Every celeb with any tenuous tie to Philadelphia gets pulled in. Who would be a good?
I think if like Bryce Harper and Joel Embiid came out together, that
that would be good. Yeah, current stars would be good. The Sixers.
Sixers are off on Sunday, I believe.
Saturday. They play.
Yeah,
they play Saturday. So yeah, and they're home. So
yeah,
and they're home the next day too. So that is certainly doable.
Dan, you messaged me yesterday. You have an important take that I think needs to get out there on the person who D'Amico Ryans could be overtaking as the most handsome head coach of all time.
I told you this, and then I like looked at some photos of him, and I was like, oh, maybe not. Like have the pictures I've seen. You know how like when you see like when there's like a Frida Kahlo self-portrait at Marshall's. Maybe I'm the only one who sees these, and it's like photoshopped to make her hot, like. Is that what they're doing with my pick was Jim Thorpe early, you know, I just like, I feel like I thought of him as a handsome man. And then I looked at some pictures and I was like, oh, he's not as much of my type as I thought.
What's your type?
But, so it's D'Amico. I mean,
type. Yeah. So it might be D'Amico. I'm not sure. I'm not fully sure what my dude type is. I my Instagram suggestions have correctly pegged what my feet are, which I won't talk about.
We appreciate that. Any predictions for Sundays, Dan? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I think they're gonna win easily. You know, I got a little nervous listening to the pod yesterday. One of you made good points about how the Niners, you know, throw to the running backs really well. They throw to Kittle, the tight end, really well. And the Eagles don't defend those things particularly well. But I don't know. That's about it. Otherwise, I think the Eagles are just a much better team. I know that like the Niners are tops in DVOA now, and I know that their defense is very good. But I think the Eagles pass rush will be able to really dominate the game. And if, you know, if, especially if the Eagles can like get ahead early, you know, like I thought they were going to blow out the Giants. I did not expect it to be, you know, like a, I mean, I want to say it was, you know, like obviously there were bigger playoff, well, maybe there weren't like actual bigger playoff blowouts, but like,
I think it was the third, you know,
I was at that, you know, I was at the game where they destroyed the Lions in 95, the Lomas Brown game. I, you know, saw them, you know, beat Tampa back-to-back years. You know, they obviously slaughtered the Vikings in the NFC title game a few years ago. But these games were like close at times, you know, like the Vikings were ahead, the Lions, I don't know if they were ahead. I think it was 7-7, you know, that game was, the first quarter was close and the Eagles scored 31 in the second. You know, those Tampa games were like kind of close for a bit. And this one, the Eagles just came in and like, you know, the only thing they lost was the coin toss. You know, they just
good
blew
line.
Them out.
I wish I used that line. That was a good line.
Yeah, I think, I use it in my story. Okay. So, yeah.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask this, because whenever I meet someone who listens to the show, my first question is what can we do better? So what can we do better? How can we improve the show?
Wow. You are a hard worker. I mean, obviously
I still can't get over, I hope the day after I retire, I'm in the grave.
Is the day I die. Yeah. So
it was, it's
fewer things like that, or maybe say more things like that. I'm not sure what
I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. What I mean is that like, I don't know what I could do in retirement. I enjoy like getting up and going to work, or getting up and have work to do. I'm not good. Like we,
you know, Zach's in the podcast. He's in the hospital. He's 96 years old. He has one final request. Would you mind doing a podcast with him?
I mean, no, we get these like, he wants 2-3 weeks.
He wants to do a Pekinese migrate one final time.
In the summer, we get these 3 weeks off, and my wife jokes like, "That's the most miserable I am all year." Is like I'm sitting there reading every article I wrote from the past year, trying to figure out like what I could do better the next year. So I admit it. I enjoy working.
I mean, I do that a lot, and I think it's just because like I enjoy pain. Like I go back through old articles. Like sometimes I'll read something, and one, I'll be like, I have no memory writing this, and there are like, and like, you know, like I was at a time when I was at Philly Mag. I think one year I wrote like 1,300 blog posts. Wow. You know, and that's just like too many to remember all of them. But sometimes I'll find an old story I wrote, and it'll have like I interviewed 5 people for this, and I have zero memory of ever writing it. And so I like going back to old things and like see what I can do better. I've listened to myself on old podcasts and, you know, see what I can do better. That, you know, I used to stutter pretty badly. I don't anymore. But obviously I still have some of it left. And so, you know, that's something I'm always working on. I think that you have, I don't know. I have a very high bar I have a very low tolerance for podcasts in general. and like, there's a couple that I can listen to, like, you know, like I listen to some like with my wife, because it's like, we're driving and like, so that it can be, sometimes it can be whatever. Although even that we've like given up on stuff. Like I was listening to You Must Remember This a long time ago. And they were like, the host said, like, it's all about like Hollywood gossip. And the host was like, I'm not really concerned with who this person slept with or whatever, like some old Hollywood star. And I was like, forget it, turn it off. That's what this whole podcast is about. Like,
Kaylin, I will say our mutual colleague at Crossover, Kaylin Kaler, has gotten me into normal gossip.
Oh yeah. Normal gossip is a very, very, fun show. I can admit it. I was like skeptical of it. I was like, what is this about? And then I listened to an episode and I was like, oh, I get it. This is great. Yeah. This is really entertaining. So I like this podcast. I like that yous have like, I like that, you know, I think like a good podcast is like, it's accessible, but also like, there's like, the hosts say a couple things that are like inside jokes referencing something, you know, 40 episodes ago.
Well, we definitely crossed that off the list. Yes.
Yeah. No, but like, I think that's good. I think that like develops like a sense of real community among listeners, as much as that like sounds a little weird. You know, like I listened to like a wrestling podcast that OSW Review, and they like now I'm always like, anytime like someone's overacting, I'm like, oh, he's selling for the guy in row Z. You know, like this is like picking up their like, you know, like catchphrases almost, you know. And so I think, you know, that's sort of like making the show, this is going to make it sound really bad, but like you do a really good job at like making the show an extended universe of like, of, you know, like different bits and, you know, Deniz, you know, like regular guests and stuff, you know, like, I think that's like very cool. I think that that is what like the best podcasts do. You know, and so I have not told you anything you can improve on, besides have me on more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, now I just like talked you up. I feel like I want to like,
yeah. See, like I'm enjoying this, but you know, Zach wants the criticism. He's like,
I have a question.
He's like a podcast sadist.
I have a separate question for Zach. Are there not like, do you not have like a hobby or something that you've sort of always wanted to do that you've never?
Now like, you sound like Emily. Years,
like 18 months ago, I like started boxing, and it's been like, it's something I always wanted to do. I finally started doing it, and it's been like incredible.
You're just
like
knocking people out left and right on the street.
My mood is way up. My shoulders look amazing. You know, like I'm down like 40 pounds from my high, you know. And then I've tried other things and they've gone terribly. You know, like I tried to teach myself how to draw like a year or so ago. You know, I run the Defector store and I'm pretty good at graphic design. I had like a pirated copy of Photoshop like since like sixth grade. Now I have a legal one. It's crazy. And you know, and I tried to draw and it went terribly. Like me and my friend who's like a very good artist, like went to a park and we were just like drawing stuff, like drawing like the buildings around it, and like some dude like came up and was like, what are you guys drawing? And then like looked at my drawing and was like, oh. And like, and I was like,
you
oh
had,
man,
like, I need to like going on.
I need to like take a I need to like take a break and figure out a different way to teach me to draw, that you know. And I am gonna go back to it, I think, eventually. But you know, that I don't know, I found that, you know. So that's a long story about me. What do you want to box? Like, and I have a really good trainer.
Honestly,
he's also a rapper. He's
great. Well, he sounds like someone I would like to do a story about. But my hobbies are my kids, right? So I'm not working, like I am doing an activity with them. I'm either taking them to one of the, you know, their things, or we're going to the museum. We're going to a museum. We're going to a park. We're going to Chuck E. Cheese. We're going to get a slice of pizza. I'm doing something to be with them. That's my hobby. If I'm not working.
Do you or your kids have favorite museums?
So they like the Please Touch Museum. So
it's not in the same place than when I was a kid, but I assume I love the big like SEPTA bus. I'm sure they still have that.
Absolutely.
You pretend to drive. I don't know why that was so fascinating, but I was at the Please Touch Museum. You know, you can't go in. There was a thing like, I don't know, I was at Philly Mag because I remember blogging it. There was a thing where they had like Star Wars Day at the Please Touch Museum, and then they had to clarify like this is a kids event, like adults can't come in unaccompanied, and people were like so angry about it, you know. Just like, you know, people were just like, I'm never gonna go to the Please Touch Museum again. And it's like, well, yeah, like you're literally not allowed. But I was at the Please Touch Museum for the debut of Gritty, which ended up being a milestone event, you know, the biggest thing the Flyers have done in, you know, a decade,
aside from having Sarah Palin drop the puck, but I guess that was over a decade ago.
Yeah, that was 2008, okay. I believe. Yeah.
I have one last question for you, Dan. What did you make of Howie Roseman showing up at Raw last night?
Oh, there were a lot of celebrities there. Howie Roseman, Brock Lesnar guy, the guy who loves Brock Lesnar. A couple like people who I always see dressed as Ric Flair or Macho Man at Philly WWE events. Yeah, I saw somebody posted like tweeted that, and then somebody else was like, "Oh, it's not a story. He's there with his kid." He's like, well, like they just tweeted it. It's not like a big deal.
Who do you think is the comp? Who do you think is the wrestling universe comp for Howie?
Ooh, who? Who is someone who? So it has to be someone who
got to be like a manager, right? Are we talking like Bobby the Brain?
Well, I was gonna say no. I was thinking like a guy. I mean, like unfortunately, is it now Vince McMahon pushed out of power and then returned?
Yeah,
I guess he would have to then lead WWE to greatness, and maybe a $6 billion sale would be that.
But I see Bischoff in the comments. Like I could see that.
Yeah. Like I like that, right? Except like Bischoff is more of a fraud than like Bischoff came up with the NWO, like one of the greatest angles ever, you know, but that would be like if Howie had only drafted McNabb and never drafted anyone else. Good. I don't know.
It's tough. All right.
Jimmy Hart.
Jimmy Hart's a good one.
He was there last night.
Well, Dan McQuaid, thank you so much for taking the time. Give the listeners where they can follow you. One of the greatest Twitter handles is so easy.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at DHM. I'm not the sometimes I get wrong tags for the Germany History Museum, Deutschland History Museum. And I'm not them, but I'm DHM, it's my initials. Very fun. I can't get it like anywhere else. So I've been trying. Dolph Hamster Music like quit Instagram a decade ago and has DHM. And I've been trying to get it, and I don't know. My notes to Instagram have gone unanswered, if you can believe it. Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at DHM. You can go to defector.com for Defector stuff. I wrote a thing today about how George Washington University does not want its new mascot to be the hippos.
They're not the Colonials anymore?
And they are moving from,
from
that for vague reasons of offensiveness. I'm not
what's the offensive reason? Sort of.
I don't know, but like I haven't been following. Got to read the story.
Colonial. Oh no, I didn't touch on that in the story. I mainly wrote about hippos. Like I guess like the colonial, you know, it's like how people are like, oh, if you fly the 13 star flag, yeah, like colonials, like yeah, okay, colonialism is bad, you know, like I guess that they don't want to be the colonials, but like I don't know, like they're still George Washington.
Right.
Like it seems like kind of, you know, like they're going to be like the George,
the apple trees, the wooden
George
teeth,
Washington
like,
Patriots. Yeah. I don't know. Commanders. But yeah, so defector.com. I also run the Defector store, defectorstore.com. If
we can see the merch behind you,
see some t-shirts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can see, we do not sell shoes, but yeah, I have a lot of shoes.
Got some good Nikes there. Respect that.
I have.
It's like Vinnie Curry's.
Oh, no. My headphones fell out, but I'm going to keep talking. This is something, if they make the Super Bowl, I'm going to finish this and I'm going to write about it. This is Jeffrey Lurie's PhD thesis that I got from someone.
Yeah.
Now you've got Zach Jones. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I've turned the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Lurie's PhD thesis. It's about the history of women in cinema.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, as theses go, like I've only read a couple, but I read one on the history of cargo pants. I would say this is about at that level. The cargo pants one was pretty good.
Who wrote that?
A Drexel professor named his name I can't recall offhand. Which is bad. He's helped me out a few times. He's like a fashion professor. Now that I run a t-shirt store, I'm like, that's my next hobby. I'm going to teach myself how to sew.
Oh, there we go. All right. All right. Well, I guess that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. We will be back tomorrow night with Michael Dunn giving us the lowdown on the matchup in the trenches. So for Zach and Dan and Marissa, I'm Bo. We thank everybody for watching.
talk to you tomorrow night. And as always, we love you.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.